Is it on? Is that it? All right. Is that better? Yeah. Okay. Sorry. Had it on the mute. You know. But it's really good to be with everyone. And we're thinking about Psalm 139. Everyone pretty much knows this psalm. You know, if you've known Jesus for any time, you'll know the psalm pretty well. And I was just wrestling with what is it, you know. And I was asking God to give me just a sense of to capture it afresh, what it would be like to read this psalm and how we can respond to it in different ways. So what later on I'm going to ask the guys to put on a bit of music at some point. If you're not used to having music in the middle of the sermon, don't worry. But we're going to have some music from Hans Zimmer, okay? But that was in order to capture the emotions. And we're going to look a bit about the different ways that we respond to kind of God being close and God knowing us. So if you've got a Bible, you might want to open it at Psalm 139. If you've got a Bible app, you might want to just lock in there to Psalm 139. If you don't have either, don't worry. It's all right. But just before we get into the psalm itself, I just want to ask you a question. Here's my mobile phone, okay? I'm sure almost everyone, is there anyone here who does not own a mobile phone? Right, oh, there's a few people. Okay, you just have to imagine this, okay, for a minute. If you haven't got a mobile phone in your life, imagine for a second, okay? But I want you to imagine how you'd feel if someone hacked into your camera. You know, if you've got a selfie camera, they could hack into that, or they hack into the other one, and they managed to get the camera to be on videoing you the whole time, right? The whole time in your life. So if you're carrying your phone around, and imagine you had one if you don't, and they're videoing you the whole time. And so they're actually videoing everything you do. You go to the toilet, you do everything, basically everything you do, and they're videoing that. They're videoing all the things you say, and all the things you do, the things that you hide maybe from other people, yeah? Now, that's pretty scary, isn't it, already? But imagine if it's a bit like, you know, there was this film a way back, if you were a bit older, called Enemy of the State with Will Smith, where they had these satellites, and they used to kind of, and it's happening all the time now, that satellites can come down, and they can look, and they can see us, and they can penetrate the houses, and they can see everything we're doing. So it's not just the camera on here, but it's actually from above, and it's seeing you all the time. So imagine if that's happening, right? But imagine that actually someone had developed a satellite that could hack, not just into what's happening physically, but into your thoughts, everything you're thinking, everything you're saying, all of those things that you hide from everyone else, that you don't want everyone else to know, all the secrets in your life, you know, the things, if you're a child, the things you've stolen, you know, the plans to steal things or whatever. I don't know. If you're an adult, it might be the same in the office. It might be the things that no one else knows. And imagine that person now was hacking with a satellite and was sending images of all your thoughts to people here in this room. How would you feel? I mean, I was thinking about it and thinking that would be scary, wouldn't it? And actually, to some extent, that is true because God sees everything about us, yeah? So I want to read the first 12 verses of this psalm, which really shows us that God knows us perfectly. He sees everything about us and the fact that we can't escape from him anywhere. I'm going to read those 12 verses. Just ponder on this fact for a second and think, if you've never looked at this psalm before, what would it be like to read these words if you don't have God in your life at all? And you're just thinking, this is suddenly discovered this, that God is like a magic satellite that hacks my thoughts. Okay, have a listen to this. You've searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You're familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for the darkness is as light to you. So you can see there, can't you? Like in the first six verses, basically saying God knows everything about us, absolutely everything. There's nothing that he doesn't know. He knows every thought, every word. Before the words are even there, he knows them. Before the thoughts are even there, he knows them. And then in verse 7 to 12, basically it's saying God is everywhere. We cannot escape from him. He's absolutely everywhere. You know, we have a special sense that we enter into God's presence in a special relational way, but actually God is everywhere. You can't hide from him. Even in the darkness, it's like light to him because he's absolutely everywhere. Now, so what I was thinking was the different ways we respond to this. If we can just pull up the first slide and the first bit of music, yeah. So one of the ways we respond is that we try and hide. We hide from God. And I'm just going to read from Genesis 3, which is where the first bit of hiding from God happens, okay? And how this is a pattern for all of us, how we just naturally tend to hide from God. It says this: the woman approached the tree, she eyed its fruit and coveted its mouth-watering, wisdom-granting beauty. So she plucked a fruit from the tree and she ate it. Then she offered the fruit to her husband who was close by, and he ate it as well. Suddenly their eyes were opened to a reality previously unknown. For the first time, they sensed vulnerability and rushed to hide their naked bodies, stitching fig leaves into crude loincloths. Then they heard the sound of the eternal God walking in the cool, misting shadows of the garden. The man and his wife took cover among the trees and hid from the eternal God. So God calls to Adam, "Where are you, Adam?" And Adam says, "When I heard the sound of you coming in the garden, I was afraid because I'm naked, so I hid from you." "Who told you that you're naked?" God says. "Have you eaten from the tree in the center of the garden, the very one I commanded you not to eat from?" And then Adam points at the woman. He says, "It was her, this woman that you gave me as a companion, put the fruit in my hands and ate it." And you can see that pattern, can't you, that we see in our lives now. You know, that's what they did the first time. They hid from God because they were ashamed, because they knew that they weren't good enough to see God face to face. And so we see it now, don't we? We see the politicians hiding away from God. We see husbands hiding their affairs from their wives. We see children, in our case, one of our children hid Kit Kat wrappers when they'd eaten the Kit Kats from the fridge, and then they put the Kit Kat wrappers. One day we found these whole load of Kit Kat wrappers behind the bed, you know. Maybe a trivial thing, but that's what we do. We live to hide, and then everyone else, if you're not one of the politicians or someone having an affair, we hide things from other people. We hide things from God. And we think that we'll be okay, but we feel naked before God. We feel exposed because we see that he sees everything, and that he is everywhere, and we can't escape from him. So if you read that in that kind of way, as someone who just doesn't have God in their life, that is what life is like. We're always trying to cover up. And even sometimes people who know Jesus and know God, we do the same. And we hide from God. So that's one way we respond, okay? The second way we respond, if we can have the second one, is to come to God for forgiveness, which is totally different, isn't it? So when we read, I'm going to read verse 13 to 18. When we come to God in that open kind of way, we see things are different. It says this: "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I am awake, I'm still with you." So instead of hiding from God, if we stand and we look and we see he actually made us, he actually planned every second of our life, and not to harm us, he planned every second of our life to do good to us, to bless us. He was there. He was knitting us together in our mother's wombs. He was in that whole process. You know, not like my atheist friend says, where he says he envies us because we have this sense of being in our life and sense of purpose and sense of belonging. But he says, yeah, I don't believe any of that stuff, but I envy you because you have something that makes sense of your life, that makes you special. So we come to God, we recognize that he made us. That's what we can do, which is what King David does here, doesn't he? And then we can also, with our nakedness and our shame and our feeling alone and our guilt, instead of hiding, we can come and let God clothe us in Jesus. And I'm going to read another passage from a reflection from the Apostle John, from a different version, where he talks about Jesus and what Jesus does. And he says this: "We want to tell you about the one who was from the beginning. We've seen him with our own eyes. We've heard him with our ears. We've touched him with our own hands. This one is the manifestation of the life-giving voice. And he showed us real life, eternal life. We've seen it all. And we can't keep what we've witnessed quiet. We have to share it with you. We're inviting you to experience eternal life through the one who was with the Father and came down to us. What we saw and heard, we pass on to you so that you too will be connected with us intimately and become family." That's the invitation. "Our family is united by our connection with the Father and his Son Jesus, the Anointed One. We write all this because retelling this story fulfills our joy. What we're telling you now is the very message we heard from him. God is pure light, undimmed by darkness of any kind. And if we say we have an intimate connection with the Father, but we continue stumbling around in darkness, then we're lying, because we do not live according to truth. But if we walk step by step in the light where the Father is, then we're ultimately connected to each other through the sacrifice of his Son, Jesus. His blood purifies us from all sins. If we go around bragging and we say we have no sin, then we're fooling ourselves and are strangers to the truth. But if we own up to our sins, our failures, then God shows that he is faithful and just by forgiving us our sins and purifying us from the pollution of all the bad things we've done." And you could add to that, "and thought and said. If we say we have not sinned, then we depict God as a liar and show that we've not let his word find its way into our hearts." And the world conditions us, doesn't it? The world says to us, you need to keep protecting yourself. You need to look after yourself. You need to hide. You hide those things that you don't want people to see, the bits of your life that are a mess. But actually, Jesus says, that's what I've come for. I've come to forgive you. I've come so that you can know my Father in that intimate way where he cleans everything up and he just takes those messy bits of your life. But you've got to open up first. You just need to open up. You need to not hide away. I'm calling you, just like he calls us, just like he called Adam and Eve in the garden. Where are you? Because not because he wants to condemn us, but because he wants to forgive us and restore us, because he wants to deal with those things in our lives that are messy, the things that we hide from other people. And so if we take that into account, then actually it becomes a beautiful thing, the presence of God, doesn't it? Because instead of running and hiding from God, we want to embrace God. We want to receive that truth about him. I'm going to read again, verse 1 to 6 again, but from a different version, just so it's a bit fresh. And I want you just to hear what it's saying about the way God relates with us. It says, "O Eternal One, you have explored my heart and you know exactly who I am. You even know the small details, like when I take a seat and when I stand up again. Even when I'm far away, you know what I'm thinking. You observe my wanderings and my sleeping, my waking and my dreaming. And you know everything I do in more detail than even I know. You know what I'm going to say long before I say it. It's true, Eternal One, that you know everything and everyone. You've surrounded me on every side, behind and before me, and you've placed your hand gently on my shoulder. It's the most amazing feeling to know how deeply you know me inside and out. the realization of this is so great that I just can't comprehend it. Isn't that beautiful, the way that God has that intimate relationship, and he wants that intimate relationship with us. He doesn't want us to hide. And so I think David kind of wrestles with this a bit, and he's saying, this is so amazing. This is too much for me to take in, but I want to take that truth. I want to come out of my hiding place, and I want to be real with God. And so that's just another way we can respond. Instead of hiding, we can actually come to God for forgiveness. But then you see, towards the end of the psalm, there's suddenly this change in verse 19. And actually, we see something else there. We see also a response to God being holy and being amazing and knowing everything. If we can put the next slide on. Yeah, thanks. And then what happens then is that we taste what justice is like. And we, in one sense, we begin to condemn or stand against the people who are rebellious against God. These are strong words, aren't they? It says, if only you, God, would slay the wicked. Away from me, you who are bloodthirsty. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do not hate those who hate you, Lord, and abhor those who are in rebellion against you. I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them as my enemies. I don't know what you think of that. It's really strong, isn't it? It's like a sense of, you know, anger and rage and judgment. But I think sometimes when we come close to God and we see how intimate he is, it hurts us when other people stand against God. And it hurts us when people go in the opposite direction of God. And it hurts us when we see people shake their fists at God. You know, and we taste that righteous anger that God has. But the problem is, we're not like God, are we? So we wrestle with it and we take it in. And then suddenly we realize, actually, that's fine, but I'm not like that as well. I'm not like God. I don't see everything. So we get angry. I don't think it's right for us to be angry against people, you know, with people, and to be against things and people who do those atrocious things that they do. There needs to be that sense of justice. But the problem is, we don't see everything like God. And we're not everywhere like God. And so suddenly, we become aware, I think as David does here, and we become aware that actually, I'm just as rebellious as all those other people out there. I may not show it in the same way, and I might come to church on Sunday, and I may do all of the nice things that I do, but actually my heart has that rebellion in it, and God needs to keep dealing with that. So then we get the last two verses, which is when we realize that actually we're just like everyone else. You know, we need God's grace to break into our lives. And so this is what he says there. I've just gone to the last slide, please. Thanks. So what does King David say? He says, he asked God to sort out his own heart. And he says, yeah, actually, I'm just as much of a mess as these other people. And he says, search me, God, and know my heart. Now he's not looking at the other people. He's done that bit. And he says, test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. And I think that's where the psalm takes us to in the end. It takes us to a point where we say, yeah, you made me, God. You're amazing. You're intimately involved in my life. You know everything about me. You're everywhere. I can't escape from you. I'm flawed and I'm sinful as well. I'm just like the people that I've just condemned. I'm just like the people who actually do wrong things and are rebellious against you. And so we just call out to God for him to change us. And so we discover that actually God being everywhere and knowing everything is a great thing. It's a good thing. But it's only a good thing if we come to him in Jesus. If we keep hiding, it's a horrible thing. It's a scary thing. If we want to keep hiding from God, then he'll find us. There's no way we can hide from him. If we want to keep hiding our deeds, he knows everything. But actually, it's a wonderful thing if we embrace Jesus and we say, Jesus actually clothes us. Not like Adam and Eve when they stitch the things together, but actually he clothes us in everything that he is, which is perfect. The Bible calls that righteousness. He is everything that we couldn't be. And so he actually says, you come and you wear my clothes. You become like me. And my Father will see you in that perfect way. And you can come out of your hiding and you can come and confess all your wrestles. And so we have that Father God who knows every struggle. He's always with us to bless us. He's always there to pick us up when we fall, not to condemn us when we fall. You know, sometimes even as parents, when our children make mistakes, we just get frustrated and angry with them. God picks us up and he says, I'm here to bless you. And then he's with us to restore us every time that we fail. So we don't need to hide from him. And I want to just encourage us as we just pray now, you know, to be people who, just like this picture here, we come into the light, we stop hiding. You know, I don't know where you're at. Maybe you're someone who's never even believed in Jesus. You've never seen the need to do that. But actually, you know, he comes and he sees us in our nakedness, in our failures, and Jesus comes, he says, I'll take you out of that. Come into the light. I'll take away that shame, that guilt for all the things you've done wrong. You don't have to hide. You don't have to hide from other people even. You can be who you are made to be. So that may be you, or maybe just you're someone just like me who's known God for a long time, but every week you realize there are things in your life that are messed up, and you just need to just give them to God and say, clean me up a bit. Just whether it's Kit Kat wrappers or whether it's something more serious, yeah? So let's just pray together. Father God, we thank you because you know us perfectly. We praise you because we are fearfully and wonderfully made, but not just by anyone, but by you. You made us intimately. You knitted us together in our mother's wombs. Thank you that you know every thought about us. You know every word. You know everything before it even comes into our mind or into our mouth. You know every action that we've ever done, everything we've ever done in our lives. And yet, you come, draw near to us in Jesus, and you forgive us and you cleanse us. Please help us to come out of our hiding, to stop.